You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Hi, everyone. So welcome to Tech Trend Investments on this fine Tuesday. The markets are rallying. Yay.
Let's go.
wake up and there they go. So if y'all been listening, I never change what I say. I've been saying the same thing every single week for I don't know how long, but when I have conviction, I have conviction. So we have those 8 days left, and guess what the market's doing?
It's rallying, and it's rallying hard.
Woo! So all the people out there who didn't have faith, and I told you, just chill, go touch grass, go spend time with your family and friends, don't get emotionally involved, past historicals, repeat, cycles, repeat. People make the most money on downturns. People who enter in and have faith on downturns overall in the long run make money. Guess what?
Everyone's making money right now.
Those that listened and had faith are. Those who didn't sold off. And y'all know who you are. If you're listening to LA and you're no longer one of our holders, guess what? So everything I say with conviction, and I never change my story. It's always the same thing because what I say is my word. I keep true. It's gold. And I will not say something unless I have complete faith in it. And so I will not repeat something over and over again. And if all the players do what they're supposed to do out there on those 100 days, on fulfilling promises, on trying to make the economy strong, trying to lower interest rates, lower inflation, lower the budget, they're going to lower the deficit. They're going to do things that are going to disrupt the market. And that is normal what has happens. This is normal what happens, but it's for the better good and for the bigger outcome for overall. And so markets will have a comeback based on their emotion on what they think is happening. And now they have faith again. So here we are.
Here we are, and it's finally time. The market is going. Everything's happening like it's supposed to. And if you're paying attention, the key dates, they're all lining up. 8 more days, and then the 5th. 8 more days. I'm counting down the days. I had it marked on my calendar.
So, I mean, we have cycles. And again, like I said, we have our cycles. So we had the first cycle, which was August 5th to November 5th, which was a down cycle. And then we had November 5th to February 5th, which was an up cycle. And then we had February 5th down to May 5th, which is our down cycle, as you can see. and then we have May 5th is anticipation. Do your own research, not financial advice, but this is anticipated to be our up cycle. And we've been doing everything behind the scenes, like everybody else who's thriving right now, too. We've been doing everything behind the scenes in anticipation of the Coke bottle push. And if you don't know what a Coke bottle is, go back into our history and look for Coke bottles. But we'll probably talk on that a little bit later on, too. But things cycle out. You just have to be patient. And everybody wants everything quick. They want it today. They want it yesterday. They want that quick 1,000x. Those can come, but you have to be patient and you have to time things and you have to look for volume and cycles and historicals and what normally happens and what happens to a market when people are in it and when people are on the sidelines. Like, all these things take effect. And yes, we can have great momentum. And yes, we can flip 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 easily. But I prefer to hold on to my money and wait until it's optimal. I always want to stack odds in my favor no matter everything that I do. Like, everything's strategy, right? We want to stack things in our favor. And so, yes, when the market is a little soft and it has a downturn, you can still trade. You can still, you know, like, go on puts and like shorts and all that kind of stuff. You can buy options in the future because they come really cheap. Like, if you bought a long option on ETH when ETH was going down and then you bought an option in the future, you could have bought farther out in time with even like a lower amount or even a higher amount and still got it really, really cheap because everybody else didn't have faith. But now if you go to buy like a long on it or a future option on ETH or anything in crypto, you're going to pay a hefty price because everybody's optimistic again. And so now there's a premium on the price where before you could have got it at a discount. So there's always opportunities, no matter if the market is good, the market is soft, the market is on a downturn, it's on a pullback, it's on profit taking. No matter what's going on, there's always an opportunity to do something. And if you see these cycles and you see these historicals and you see what transpires, then you understand it. And that's why we always say paper trade and only use a little bit of money so you can watch these cycles without emotion. You get to see the logic behind it. You get to see what affects the market and what makes it go up and what makes it go down. And I've been looking back at like the past couple months and people have just been range trading. Like ETH has been predictable on going its ranges. If it goes like 15 to 1650 and it goes back down to 15, then 1650 and back down to 15 and 1650. If it's not breaking out or it's not dropping its floor, you can range trade it. So like, there's so many different opportunities. It's just a matter of sitting back and being patient, learning as much as you can in the interim, paper trading, trading with only $10 and like testing everything out. And then when it rallies, if you notice now, everybody's on board like, oh, we knew it was going to come back. Oh, we knew it was being a bull market. Oh, that's what I said. You know, like everyone's like taking claim now and they're like, yeah, I was optimistic the whole time. But yeah, here we go.
Yeah. Now all the doubters turn to the absolute biggest fans. And it always happens in all these cycles. And we called it, I think it was last episode, where everyone's going to go, oh no, I sold at the bottom, or I sold too early. The amount of times that it's going to happen now more than ever, you're going to hear it, or they're just going to be like, oh no, I held it as they're buying right now. It happens on every cycle. And if you time it properly, and if you watch the markets, you can avoid that. You can avoid buying too early or buying at the top and selling at the bottom. And you can be the person who buys the bottom and sells the top. And that's everyone's goal.
And not everyone can always time it perfectly, but you also have to know not to let emotions take place. So we've been ranging, I think we dropped to 14.15 at one of the lowest points, 14.14. But it's also gone up to 4,600. So that's like a 3,300 range, right?
Yep.
And you're never going to time it exact. You're never going to say, okay, it hit 46, I'm going to sell it all. It dropped to 14.14, I'm going to buy it all. Like, of course, we want to be perfect, but that's a big range to trade in, right? And even if you're just trading in that range, so hypothetically, you bought in at 17 now, so 17.50, it still has room to go up. It does. It could potentially, people could profit take still, and they're going to have a pullback, and they're going to profit take, and that still may happen. But if you have an overall optimistic market sentiment, it'll have its pullbacks, people will profit take, it'll take that little dip, give another opportunity, and then it'll go and break through the next range again. But we can never officially time it perfectly. We just want to make sure that you're not trading on emotion and you're not just like going, oh no, it's dumping, so I'm going to sell it off and it's too late. And then like, oh no, it's rallying and now it's at the all-time high and I decide to get in. Because a lot of people did get in when it had peaked. Like everyone waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and they're like, okay, now I think I'm going to buy. And they bought one at the top. So again, like on the past episodes, we said, like, do dollar cost averaging. Just buy a little every week or a little every month. Do $10, $10 this week, $100 next week, $100 once a month. Then you're buying at all different price points and it'll average out. And overall, you'll be up. Because again, just like the stock market, it averages 8 to 12% over like a 10-year period. And so you're appreciating, right? But if you're trying to time it exactly, you're never going to get it exact. You can get pretty close to it if you know historicals and you see what happens and what emotion causes and what news and rumors cause. And if you study the market and you're looking at TA, and you can see what range is going in. And once it breaks through that range, what is going to go into the next thing? Yes, then you have a better chance of timing it exactly. But overall, as just an investor, you just want to invest. And again, you use your coffee money, you use your discretionary money, you use 10 bucks, you know, 10 bucks, your pocket change that's in your junk drawer, you know, money that you would have spent on a drink at the bar, or money that you would have spent like going to get a Starbucks coffee, or money that you would have splurged on Uber Eats, or, you know, like your extra money. So instead of ordering a to-go, that day you cooked at home and it cost you $5, you saved 30, you invested it into finance, you invested into some type of portfolio or investment vehicle or crypto. You know, like all these little ways can give you a better future by not being so like splurging or spontaneous right now, but it also gives you a learning lesson, right? You also get to see what the market does. You get to see how things work. Like you're learning something from it too. You're not just investing, but you're learning. Like, yes, in that moment that you get the Uber Eats delivered to your house, you're excited. So you got that little dopamine rush. But if you invested $10 and you got it at like $14.14 and it's at $17.50 today, you get to look in your portfolio and you're like, oh, my portfolio is up today. That's like a dopamine rush that'll like stay there for a little longer than just that 5 or 30 minutes to eat that meal. But I know I say a lot of analogies because I want people to understand how it plays out in real life. Like all this stuff plays out in real life. So
it's like if you look at it, buying food, it only lasts you as long as you can eat it. But investing and making money will make you happy as long as you have to spend it, or as much money as you make and how quickly you can spend it. Let's say you save that $30, you invest your $30, instead of that $30 being gone in 15 to 20 minutes and you're eating that splurge of an Uber Eats meal, now you have 10 Uber Eats meals, for example, and you've just 10x your time in your enjoyment. So it's all about, if can you wait for that extra enjoyment, or do you really need it instantly? Do you need that instant gratification right now? And most people would say, I'll wait for that 10x. I'll wait till I can get more gratification, and then it'll last longer. And when things last longer, it always feels better. And you feel happier, and your days feel longer. Everyone around you is happier. Everyone's smiling. It feels great.
But also don't forget, don't use your primary money. So if you need grocery money, don't spend it on investing. Your grocery money goes to your groceries.
It's your rent money goes we're to talking rent. About.
You do not use your mortgage. You do not use your rent. You do not use your car payment. You do not use your insurance payment. You do not use your grocery money. Yes, your splurge money, yes, but not your grocery money for investing. Do not go hungry for investing. We're talking about the splurge part of it, not the food part of it. But you can cook your meal for $5 and then, or you can buy a meal for 50. So if you cook your meal for $5 and then you invest that extra 45 that would have been the splurge into some type of like stocks, bonds, options, future, something to learn, something to invest, or crypto just to see what it does. Like that's the fun part about it. So don't forget that.
Do not forget. But it opens, you could have put in your $45 and then went on vacation with the money you made. I don't know what I think. A week vacation or a month long vacation is better than one meal. That's a personal opinion. Everyone has their own. I think vacationing is amazing.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the market. We're getting really, really close. We anticipated all these dates were going to happen. So we had said key dates to watch out for. We said the Fed meeting, which was the 17th through the 19th. We knew that the Fed were not going to cut rates. It was going to be flat. And we didn't anticipate, like we still don't anticipate them cutting till maybe June 15th, hypothetically. They do meet again on May 6th. So these are key dates, right? But whenever the Fed makes a statement, it still affects the financial markets too. So depending on what Powell says and depending on what the government says, it kind of affects the markets too. But so those were key dates. And then we had April 15th, which everybody all probably just did your taxes last week. So congratulations. And then We've had favorable crypto stuff be announced during tax season too. So that was positive. We anticipated that that was going to happen, and it happened exactly on April 15th. They announced it on April 15th. So it happened to a T. And then now the next key date is the end of the 100 days, which is April 30th. And then the next time the Fed meets is May 5th and May 6th. And then we also have the start of our new cycle, which will be May 5th. Now, we have quarters of, like, if you're in business and you have your income and your cash flow, cost of goods, and then you also have to your reporterly, like you have to report quarterly, sorry, that's a new word. You have to report quarterly. You have your quarter, your first quarter is January 1st through March 31st. That's the first quarter. And then we go into our second quarter. Wait, April. Yeah, April, May, June. So this is, we're going into our second quarter right now, too. And then, so we have January, February, March. That's the first quarter. April, May, June. That's the second quarter. And then June, July, August is the third quarter, right? And then the Fed meets May 5th, which is part of the second quarter. And then the Fed meets again June 15th, which is the start of the third quarter. This year's going to go by way too fast.
It already is.
So there's key things that happen, right? So we have like GDP gets announced, we have unemployment gets announced, which affects the economy at different points of it too. And sometimes the news doesn't come out until after the Fed meets. So then the Fed can't do anything until they get the reports out and they don't know what's happening yet. So they can't do something based on a report that they haven't gotten, even though it's already transpired. So we had a report come out on March 25th, but when the Fed met, they met on the 18th and 19th, and so they didn't have access to the data yet. And so they didn't know the information about the report. So they couldn't do anything based on the information because they didn't have it yet. So when we go through our quarters, we have quarterly reporting that comes out after, so we can see the strength of the economy, what businesses are doing, what the GDP is doing, what the deficit, and all this other information, but it comes out after the fact. So if you're in touch with what's going on in the world, you'll notice that the financial markets will be emotional and based on what they anticipate is going to happen when these reports come out, and how it's going to affect the economy in the future, and how it's going to affect businesses in the future. And so that's what we've been experiencing. So hypothetically, the threats that were taken out saying that they're going to raise the tariffs to enormous amounts, which are just basically threats. They're like carrying a big stick, who's going to budge first? Those aren't playing out, right? They've been dropped. And
And they're all
so,
in negotiations now.
right. So everybody thought, oh no, the tariffs are going to be at this amount forever. They weren't. It's part of the negotiating. That's what they do. That's just what they do. And that's part of the news. And it affects the markets. Yes, because the market's like, oh no, it's going to be this way forever. But it's not. It's not like written down yet. It hasn't been executed. It hasn't been put into place. It's just been saying that it's going to happen. And so people base on what they think is going to happen in the future and how the markets will react in the future. But as we notice, they're compromising, they're negotiating, and then the tariffs are coming down. And so the cost of goods and services won't be as high as everybody anticipated. And everybody who's been stocking up on stuff because they didn't want to
Wouldn't
buy
have
at the
afforded
higher
during that.
prices, now have a closet full of extra stuff. So, so now when they do the sales and the recaps, we're going to have a higher month sale for that month that everybody went out and bought a bunch of goods because they anticipated the prices were going to go up. So it actually spiked sales for that month. So it's kind of funny.
It is funny. It is funny. A lot of people here were buying gold and toilet paper, expecting the absolute worst to happen. Everyone with their thoughts of the market going all the way down. No one's gonna be able to buy anything. Everyone's gonna be struggling. The stores are gonna be empty. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, we're just fine now.
Yeah,
So
like now
don't.
what do we do with 1,000 rolls of toilet paper? Just kidding. Gold was probably a good investment. Gold has hit its all-time high, so it was probably a good idea to hedge your bets with gold too. But yeah, it's just funny.
Costco and gold. But yeah, everybody was buying the things that they thought they would need and the things that they thought that would be hard to grasp to get their hands on. Like what happened in COVID, it was a great example. Everyone kind of referred back to their instincts again, their natural instincts. What do I need to survive and how much of it can I get and stock up on it before the shelves are completely empty again? And now that it's not a problem, they have too much of it, there's going to be excess everywhere, no one's going to be buying it, and everything's going to go on sale. So I hope you were...
Right, they'll go on sale and the prices will drop. So we just had an increase on consumer goods spending because they stocked up. Now they're going to have an overabundance of supply, so they're going to have to drop the prices, which will lower inflation.
It's so what it happens.
So again, supply and demand, right? If you have a low supply, high demand, it makes the prices go up. So there was a false sense of low supply, and then it made a high demand, which everybody went out and bought everything and stocked up. So the prices went up, and now we're going to have too much supply because the shelves are going to be flooded with products that nobody's buying because they're all sitting in their closet. Like they have a whole plethora of paper goods in their closet now. And so the stores are going to be filled on the shelves with those things. They're going to have too much of the supply, and then they're going to have a low demand, and then they're going to have to drop prices. So this is how finance and the economy works. Welcome to Economics 101. But it affects the markets. Like, people don't see this. They just think, oh, why is the market going today? It must be a bull run. Why is the market going down? It must be a bear. Everybody out there just says if they don't know what's going on, they don't know the psychology behind it, they don't know the economics, they don't know the strategy, they don't know what's going on, they just say, it's a bull. And if it's running, it's a bull. And if it's not going, it's a bear. That's the easiest way to simplify it.
It is the easiest way.
My Twitter feed is full of people saying, it's a bull run now.
The funny thing is they don't look at what's actually happening in the long term or in the short term or the key dates. They see, oh, green, bull. Oh, it's red, it's a bear. And sell off everything. Nothing good's going to come out of this. Bad sentiment. As soon as you see a little change in the market, there's green. Oh, it's getting better. Oh, bull market again. It happens like almost every month. And even if it's like the smallest green candle, they'll have the biggest reaction. It's all about people who overreact and judging what they do. It's one thing when the smart people act, because we all react with strategy and systems and we know our cycles. So we know how to time things. And it's also fun to time what other people think too. And it's one thing that a lot of people need to put into their strategies is, what does everyone else think? What are the people who aren't looking at these charts daily or looking at the systems and the strategies and the cycles? What are they noticing? What are they going to be doing? If you can pinpoint that and their emotions, you're 100 steps ahead because you can predict what they're going to do with everything that's going to happen in the market.
Yeah. And the way that we used to do it before we built all these AI bots out that basically scrape everything and get all the information from all over. So it gets it from the markets and social media and wallets and volume websites and DEX and everything that's out there. It's gathering all this information and then compiling it. Before, we would just look for chatter for volume because a lot of different platforms didn't track volume before. And then we started tracking volume. So we can understand what's going on. Like in the stocks and stuff, you track volume, but in crypto, we didn't track volume as much. People didn't track volume. And that's one of the key things that I did is before I called a play or found something that I knew had a high probability of running, which means it was going green or going up, is that there was a lot of volume and a lot of chatter in the market. So there's a lot of people talking about it. There was a lot of people buying it, which creates volume, which again creates high demand. And then there's low supply because they're buying it all up and it causes the price to go up. So we're seeing a lot of chatter in the market again, which is preemptive to volume. We're starting to see volume. That means people are buying in again, right? And so these are all the signs and anticipation of something going in a positive green direction again. And we saw, like, we predicted that this was going to happen. And so here we are. And now it's kind of playing itself out. We're seeing a lot of chatter, a lot of people talking. So, but where have all these people been?
Gone.
When the market's been the way it's been, like, the last 2 months, right? And now they're all coming back in, which is great. We want everybody to come back in. But who's been building in the interim? Who's been around? Who's been staying through it all? And who's been trying to, like, help everybody get through it for the next cycle up? And if you're working on the downtime and you're helping others in the downtime and you're preparing yourself and you're educating yourself and you're trying to learn as much as you can, and then when the bull market does come and there is a lot of opportunities, it's going to be so much easier to invest, so much easier to trade, so many possibilities and opportunities that you'll recognize now, because when the markets are soft or the markets are fierce, you understand how they react and what happens. And because you're practicing when the markets are not favorable to everybody else, and if you're able to survive in those times, when the bull market comes, you just thrive. And so we've been adapting based on the change on what goes on the market, which is perfect. Because if you're able to adapt based on different types of scenarios, you can actually pinpoint things down and you can refine and tune it down exactly to something that you couldn't have played out unless you experienced it. So hypothetically, what's been going on is the market was weak. It was low volume. And so we got to see how people reacted when there was only like 4 to 100 traders trading, right? Yeah. And then we've also been in that spot when there's like 1,000 to 3,000 traders trading. So when there's 1,000 to 3,000, there's different key points that traders will trade. Like, they'll trade on the beginning of a new launch. So that's like an IPO in stocks. Then you'll have the ones who will take profit, and then they'll wait. The next group will come in that wait until a token's locked, renounced, and verified contract. So then you have your next set of people in. Then you have the people who exit out as soon as it hits like its certain marks. 150, 250, 500 on its resistance, like we talked about the walls. And then we have the people that exit out, and then we have the people that come in when that happens because they're waiting until it hits those numbers. And the other people are waiting until it hits those numbers to exit out and take profits. And then you have your next wave up of people with the 1 million market cap. And as soon as it hits that, then people are profit taking. And then we have the new set of people coming in who don't buy until it after hits 1 million plus. Then you have that group of people come in. And then you have your 5 million plus, and then you have the people that get on the bandwagon at the very end when it's like 5 million, 10 million, 100 million, 200 million plus. So you have all your different stages of traders. You have all your different stages of a token, and you have all different types of volume coming in. And when we have both the buyers and the sellers coming in, then we have that mixture of volume and it keeps the token alive and going. But when we only have like 3 to 100 traders, you miss those steps. So as soon as it hits like the locked renounce, you may only have like 3 people buying, but you have all the other people exiting, trying to take their profit, which they normally would have done. But now you don't have the buyers coming in to keep the momentum going. But when the market's strong, you're going to have that second wave of people come in that cover those people that are exiting out. So now everyone's coming back into the market, which is wonderful. And they're all those different stages of traders. And there are all those different personality types because everybody has a different risk tolerance and they do what works best for them. If you're a type of a trader who will not buy until after it hits 10 million or plus, you're not going to buy as soon as it's at a 6K market cap because that's too high risk for you and you're risk averse and you probably don't exit quickly enough and you probably don't enter quick enough. Your thought process is very logical. You overthink, you wait, you take longer to make decisions, and doing that can hurt you because the token could have already ran up and ran down by the time you make a decision. So those people who are like the 5 million, 10 million, 100 million market cap that they don't enter until later will not be the first ones buying in because they have a different risk again, a different mentality, and a different thought process. The people who enter in quick are like risk averse. They don't mind taking risk because they know the risk reward ratio is a lot greater because they're able to execute quickly. They're able to think quickly. they're optimistic and they know their odds and they don't get down on themselves if they make a bad trade because they know the next trade will compensate for it. So they will execute quickly, make decisions quickly, and then also profit take quickly based on system and strategy because then they know that they need a system and strategy to make things work. They can't just hope that the market will get better for them. They know that they have to execute based on strategy and a game plan to be profitable. So we have all these different types of traders that are in it, and they're all coming back in, which will again like spur the market and make the market more profitable, a lot more volume coming in, a lot easier to trade. But by doing so and studying all these different pinpoints on when a token launches all the way until it's been established for a long time, the different types of traders that come in, what the bots do when they execute at different points, what we can predict is going to happen based off of what type of traders are on the market, we were able to refine it because we've been through hot cycles and we've been through cold cycles and we've been through profit taking and we've been through low volume and we've been through a bear and a bull. And so the bots are able to adapt because they're combined with AI and they can take all this data and calculate it out and then come off of a predictive modeling based off of data. It's not taking emotion, it's taking logic, statistics, data, systems, and strategy, and then coming up with the highest probability based on that information.
I don't think anybody else has been through as many cycles and every upturn and downturn, like soft market, hot market, stable market, as we have. And especially with combining it with AI data and smart learning that's now capable with AI, no one has done it before. Our bots are like picking up things that we didn't even expect it to at this point. But that's all gonna be soon. And everyone will be able to experience it soon and to see it in live action. So if you're around and you've been through these cycles and you know what happens, you're one step ahead. If you got started when we started LA Talk, the market was picking up again. If you started back then and started watching the market, you would have so much knowledge of what happens in the market right now, because I think we've been through almost every single cycle since then. And that knowledge will take you to the next level as a trader. Even if you just put $10 in and watched every day or every week, you checked your phone. Oh, my $10 turned to $5. Oh, my $10 turned to $15. My $10 is at $7.50 now. You would be able to understand what happens and how drastic the market swings and how emotional people are and what kind of traders are in the market at any given point, because you can watch these things.
And
Maybe you're maybe you're not.
you could also compare it with the news and what was announced that day and see what your portfolio does based off of that because you're not emotional.
Exactly. And the news plays a big part into what happens in every single market. So even if you're trading stocks, bonds, futures, so on and so forth, and you've been doing it even in these downtimes in the market, you're still ahead because the news affects everything equally. Maybe some markets more than others. If bad tech news comes out or great tech news comes out, the tech market will shift more drastically than others. But you're able to get a better grasp on what happens to charts, to movements, realistically, and everything. Because news, world events, you have emotional traders, you have different types of traders, you have institutional traders. Every single one of them react differently to every single event. And by sitting through it and watching it and just being on the sidelines even and paying attention to it, you already are like a top-tier trader. And you have to convince yourself of that because you've been through everything already. In this past year, year and a half, the people who have been trading are now ready to become millionaires. Not financial advice, but you have the knowledge. All you need to do is apply it now.
Yes, do your own research, not financial advice. Nothing is guaranteed. This is an opinion. It's not a fact.
It's not a fact, it's just an opinion.
No. If not, at least you'll have a healthy portfolio as a goal, right? You're going to have a healthy
Exactly.
portfolio. You would have learned a lot. So I'm going to walk you all through like really quick on how to trade so you can understand what we normally do when we go to trade something. And I know that a lot of people in the markets, like we're trying to give you an intro to understand like how the crypto markets, finance markets work and what causes movement in the market so you can understand the psychology and the emotion behind it. And then logically, what normally moves the market is when it has a healthy portfolio and it has a good multiplier and it's in a good industry and it's a good business that everybody wants. So like AI and crypto-based companies when crypto markets were thriving, gold-based markets when gold is thriving, technology, future technology, like apps, Uber, like we already talked about Uber, Google, you know, also portfolios on companies that have been around for a while. So Amazon and like Apple, Tesla. So all these strong companies, Disney, which has been around forever too. And the markets fluctuate differently based on how long the company has existed, what kind of assets it has, what they anticipate the projected income is going to be, what how much they anticipate their revenue shares are going to be. Because when you're buying into a stock, you're buying in basically to part of that company. You own a small, minuscule piece of that company. But if that company is profitable and it anticipates doing something great in the future, then the value of your stock goes up. So when you buy into a token, there's tokens that you hold, like BTC and ETH. So Bitcoin and ETH are tokens that you hold or coins that you hold because they're an investment vehicle and they are utilized for different types of trading. They're utilized as like a standard as gold, their digital currency, their digital asset, or however your government dictates that they are on your taxes. So you gotta watch that too. But they're like an asset. They're highly volatile, but they also have a higher rate of return. So I was looking at some of the prices. I was buying crypto in 2016. I think it was Bitcoin was like at 6K or something.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then in like 2020, I think it was at 20K and it had dropped down to like 14. And everybody's like, oh, it's over with. It's gone. It's forever gone. And then just recently it hit like 110 all-time high. Okay, right?
Yep.
But when you trade, like if you're going to go look at stocks or you look at options, you're looking at your rate of return on how much you anticipate getting in the future. And if you're long-term holding, you anticipate that it's a strong, stable company. It's going to be around forever. It's going to keep appreciating in value, that they're going to have a higher growth earnings in the potential future, and they have new tech coming out. So that's the way that you evaluate a company on something that you're going to invest in, or you look for a long-term hold, a company that's been around forever, and you anticipate it will still be around forever, right? That's what you're looking for when you're in an investment vehicle. When you're trading on tokens, what we're looking for is different types of things. We have our revivals, which are old school tokens that have been around. In crypto, a token that's been around over a year is actually considered old. that's like an old token. So that means it's stable. It's been around. And then other people are investing in it. So like Mog and Pepe. Pepe came out in, I think it was April 2022. And then that's when I built out the token bots. So the AI signal bots and Phoenix bots were all built out in April and May of 2022. The AI technology that I built out was in 2020. And then, so those tokens have been around. So they're considered tokens that have historicals, that are seasoned, that have been around a while. And they're the ones that everybody knows because they've been around for a long time. That's considered a long time in crypto. Then you have the new ones that come out. And the new tokens are ones that are newly launched that comes out daily. So if a token launches today, it's a new token. It may or may not survive. And you may want to see what the team does. You look and see what the LP. The LP is what basically the asset that's backing the token and the value of the token that's stuck in the asset. It's kind of like gold to the dollar. So if we have LP and somebody puts $100,000 of Ethereum into a token and they lock it up, the value of that token is worth at least $100,000 plus the multiplier on supply and demand. So when you're looking at getting on a new launch or new token that's launching, before people would put heavy amounts in the LP, because then it would show that it's more stable. But you want to make sure that the taxes are low, that the contract is locked, that it's verified, and then it's sorry, the LP is locked, the contract's verified and renounced, which means that the dev can't make changes on the contract. It means that they can't touch the liquid that's holding the value for the token. And then you want to make sure that it's a verified contract so that it's a contract that they ran it through the test and it comes out safe. They're still having, like, we call them honeypots. A honeypot means that they're doing something malicious in the contract so that they can take money from the token, or they take stuff siphons where you can't sell your token, or they put a high tax so you can't sell your token. So that still transpires, and that's why we have analytics on all of our tokens. So when we're trading, we're looking for all of this information, plus we're looking on what the launch price is, how many holders are in it, what the volume is, if it's locked, renounced, verified contract, what the LP looks like. We're looking at the contract to make sure it's not a honeypot. We're looking at the volume to see if there's a lot of people are in on the token, it's buying, if it has some kind of technology attached to it or utility, if it's AI based or if it's just a real world asset. We're looking at see the value of the token, if we anticipate it's going to be around in the future, or if it's just going to have a high run up because a lot of people know about it and come back down, or if a lot of people are going to hold it and has over 1,000 holders and it's going to hold forever, or if the founders are doxxed and people know who they are, or if the founders are anonymous and they just don't know what the token is. So there's a lot of things that we look into before we invest in a token. And as we said, about 2,500 to 25,000 of these launch a day, which are brand new businesses, basically launching as tokens attached with liquid to make the value go up. And the more people buy and don't sell, the higher the value is going to go. The less people buy and the more people sell, the value is going to go down. So we look at all of this information, plus combine it with TA and look to make sure that the chart's going good and it has volume. And again, like we said, we have over 75 to 85 different indicators and variables that we screen through the process that we've been doing this. Again, I've been trading crypto since 2016 and day trading and doing options futures, and look at all this information and then come up with a decision within milliseconds and execute quickly. And then use the strategy where you de-risk and take out your 50% initial investment, which is your basically your initial put in your pocket, and you ride for free on your profit. And then you ladder out on the resistance points out. But we have been doing all of this stuff, and so we've implemented all the systems, the strategies, the indicators, the variables, the screening process, the analytics, all the details, all the steps that you have to go through, searching the web, searching through socials, looking at holders, seeing what wallets are doing, seeing if they're executing and if the contract is safe. So all this stuff combined on one person, they could search probably one token or 1 to 4 tokens a day, and then have to watch charts all day to make sure when they're going to exit. And
And
instead, we
oh my God, that sucks.
built all this because we've been doing it and it's second nature to us. Now we look at a chart, we know to enter or not. But we've been doing all of this for, I don't know, since 2016, right, on crypto. And so now the bots are doing it combined with AI. So we don't have to do this and you don't have to do this. All you do is log in to Dragon Pro trading platform, decide that you want to buy into the tokens, set up your exit points out, watch your portfolio, and then let the magic work for you. And
I like
that's the
that.
reason why we built it, is because we know how complicated the process is, and we know what systems and strategies are, and we know like what to look for in a token and what the analytics do and all the information, but not everybody else does. And there's only so many people that we can teach that would actually understand what we're talking about. But now the platform is easy where you just log in, look at your portfolio, say you want to exit at a 2x profit, say you want to buy it as soon as it hits a first ping and the 10K market cap. And once it hits a million, to hold on to the portfolio or do whatever you want to do. But we built all of this technology out that combines all of this history and experience combined with AI into a user-friendly platform so that you don't have to go through all the things that we had to do and learn that we've been trying to teach you for the last year and a half, that you can just let the platform do it for you and you don't have to watch charts all day. We are the AI automated trading platform for crypto, like Robinhood is for stocks and bonds. We are that for crypto. Easy user interface, easy, fun to use. watch your portfolio, make decisions that way, and not have to do all the research and not have to know how to do everything. Let it do the work for you. But so that's like what's coming out. Guess what? The market's hot. The market's coming back. We're hitting all our targets. All this technology has been built, and we're anticipating the release along with the markets going in to the bull market. So just think how fun trading will be in a bull market with something that you didn't have to figure out how to use. It's like going to IKEA and having to build all your own furniture yourself. Instead, the furniture piece is delivered to your home, all set up and beautiful, ready to go. And you just open up the refrigerator door and it's full of food.
Oh my God, that'd be such a time saver. Oh my God.
Instead, can you imagine trying to build a refrigerator from scratch and then going to the grocery store and then finding the stuff on sale and then finding what to buy and then prepping the food and cooking it? Instead, it's just delivered to your home and it has everything in it. That's what Dragon Pro is. It's delivered to your home. You can use it from your phone, use it from your laptop, use it from wherever you want. You just open up the refrigerator and it's full of food. That's the goal.
Yes, and that's coming out very soon. Very, very, very soon. And I'm going to add on to a little thing that you said in your little rant there, which was honestly mind-blowing. And I'm going to have to re-listen to it, even being on here talking over it with you, because it was such a mouthful. And all of our recordings will be posted after. So if you did miss anything, please go back and listen to it. There will be AI or descriptions of what we talked about in afterwards. So if you miss anything, go back through all the episodes, find out what you missed. Everything has been so much, we've dropped so much value in every single one of our episodes. And one thing I want to touch on is we had someone in crypto come on and talk about analytics. And that was an entire episode. And that was during the very, very, very start of when we started LA Talk Radio. So if you want to go back to that one, we went in super detail of analytics in meme coins. And if you're really interested in that, I'd go listen to that before we talk next week, because that's going to help you get prepared for the future. And that's got a lot of information that you're going to need.
And we're also going to have, we'll announce it next week too, we have training courses, videos, private groups to teach people how to trade. And we'll be announcing that next week. So we've been giving you all free information to try and learn and like touch base and get you to know what's going on. But we will have detailed courses coming out and we'll announce that next week. So if you want, and they're affordable, they're, you know, less than the cost of trading pretty much, but just the values there. So if you want to know more detailed information, you have a choice. Dragon Pro can trade for you and it's easy user interface, or you can learn how to do it. And we have resources for that too. But in the interim, until next week, while we're going through this run, hopefully before people start to profit take again, go enjoy life, go touch grass, go see the water, go touch the sand, go look at the beautiful flowers, see the cherry blossoms if you have it, enjoy spring, go spend time with family and friends, and then get ready for the bull run. Again, do your own research, not financial advice, but we'll be here next week. And happy Taco Tuesday, Sushi Tuesday, and any other kind of Tuesday you want to call it.
Every form of Tuesday. Happy, everyone. Enjoy it. Enjoy your week. Enjoy the rest of the month. And we'll see you next episode.
See you next week. Bye.
You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.